Blog Talk Radio.
Living in the moment. Welcome to Teachable Moments with your host, Amber Waters Porter. Prepare to enjoy conversations and practical discussions with biblical principles that inform, inspire, and lift your spirits to new heights. Listen weekly as you live in the moment and allow God to speak wisdom to your life. Now, find your moment with your host, Amber Waters Porter.
Welcome, everyone. Happy Tuesday. Welcome back to Teachable Moments. I have a guest tonight, Lavelle McMichael. But before I get to Lavelle, let me just say we're going to send out prayers for our Mama Says segment, Pastor Carolyn Porter. She's not feeling well tonight. And so we want to remember her in prayer, as well as remember those who have been affected by the storms and the hurricanes and all those, the bad weather and family and friends and in Texas and in Florida and the surrounding areas. So we're going to remember her in prayer. Again, I want to remind you about Dr. Kathy O's conference coming up, the 21st through the 22nd. I think last week I may have given you the wrong date. But it's in Princeton, New Jersey, but for sure you can check her out at Dr. Kathy O, D-R-C-A-T-H-Y-O. Look her up on Facebook and register for the conference. I'm sure you will not be disappointed and you will leave refreshed and renewed. I want to pray for her as well that things will go well with her. Okay, Lavelle, it's me and you. It's our time. Lavelle McMichael, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well, Amber. How are you?
I'm just doing peachy. Tonight we are talking about your book that you've written. It's called Transforming the Minds of Men, Maximizing Potential from Childhood to Manhood. But before we start talking about your book, let's learn a little bit about Lavelle McMichael and who he is. Tell us a little bit about your childhood, and so bring us up to current so we'll know you really know what you're talking about as far as your book Transforming the Minds of Men.
So I was born and raised in Philadelphia with a single mother and in the home with two of my 11 brothers and sisters. And I've been married for 14 years. I have two of my own sons. And one of the things that I did when I graduated college was move to Arizona. And once I moved to Arizona, I began to work in child welfare and started to own and operate group home facilities for young men. And one of the things I discovered in that work was that a lot of these young men were fatherless. And so I began to reflect on my experience growing up. Mm-hmm. And that began to mirror some of the things. And even though I wasn't raised in a group home,
right,
I saw some parallel behaviors and some emotional trauma that was occurring. And a lot of the systematic institutions or the systematic work based on the institutionalization of these boys,
right,
really resonated. And so I felt like I needed to share my experience and my story so that I could help other single parents, so that I could help other young boys who grew up without a father, other single fathers and teachers that were dealing with these young men in their classroom. And so that's how the book came about, and that's a little bit about who I am. And so I released the book in September of 2015 after going through a transition with the group home facilities. I had a heart attack and died on the operating table, and the Lord just revived me. And in that time, was able to transition from the type of work that we did with these boys directly to providing some type of training and development around the mindset that happens, and that's where Transforming the Minds of Men came. We have to look at these young men different in order to provide tools and strategies to help them to maximize their potential. And
okay,
that's how it all came.
Okay, that's how it all came. Before you go into the book, I wanted to ask you, just because you made mention of this in the beginning, share with us what were some of the parallels that you notice between the institutionalized boys and their behavior related to not having having had a father to what you experienced in your childhood?
So a lot of the behavioral outbursts, you know, when I was in school, and I hate to admit this sometimes, and I see it even in my own son, I was emotionally traumatized and didn't know it. I was seeking answers that I didn't even know I was seeking. And okay. So when I'm dealing with these young men who go to school, and not just young men, but more specifically young men, and the school is doing Fathers Come to School Day,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have one, they get upset, right? Or if the inference of parenting comes up and that father is absent, then that stresses those children out. And sometimes teachers, principals, counselors don't realize that while we're trying to get them to behave a certain way, there are some factors that we have to consider.
Right.
That have affected the behavior, and I, you know, I didn't know that I was traumatized of not having a father until I got older and realized, wow, this is why I was acting out.
What did you think, though? I'm very curious as that.
I thought I was getting back at my mom. I thought I was going to find some type of comfort. Sometimes a lot of the acting out that I did was to get attention, and not necessarily the negative attention, but I wanted to know somebody cared.
Mm.
And see, when you look at fatherhood and its role in a traditional family, it provides that protection. It provides that direction. And so a lot of young men are being nurtured, but they're not given protection and direction. And so just imagine being nurtured without any protection or direction and not knowing where you're going, and you don't feel safe. And, you know, we can get into the whole policing, right?
Right.
Why do you think these behaviors are happening when these guys are alone? Because they don't know where their sense of protection is. So you have to protect yourself, which is why there's a lot of, you know, I use this as a joke. You may not find it funny, but kids don't get here on their own. And so kids have not stopped coming into the world.
Right.
But fathers are more and more absent.
After the fact.
Right, do you see what I'm saying? So it's like at some point they're able to function socially enough.
Long enough
to make a deposit that is lifelong and lasting, but don't have the social skills or the emotional capacity to be. And that's not all the father's fault. It's not all of the mother's fault. And I talk about that. There are some fathers, right? Some kids who are fatherless whose father passed away. There are some kids whose father is in prison. There are some kids whose father don't even know they exist.
Mm. Okay.
So there's a lot of different dynamics when you think about fatherlessness of boys. But the one common thing that they all have in common is that regardless of who you are, you want to know who your dad is.
All right. Okay.
Even if he's messed up.
You just want to know.
And 80% of kids who are in foster care seek their parents after they leave the system. 80%.
Okay. I hadn't thought about that.
And the system spends so much time trying to keep the kids from the parents that they don't realize they need the work that they need to be doing is with showing parents how to effectively parent, and not even looking at effective parenting as what we think is traditional, because sometimes, I mean, those kids who grew up with drug addict parents, sometimes they make better than kids who have both parents.
That's true.
So it just sometimes we look at, that's why I say systematic and institutionalization, those words are really key, because we can miss a mark creating a picture that doesn't really exist in any family. Because even dual parent homes have issues.
That's true.
So I think it's teaching people, like, whatever your situation is, you know, we didn't, you kids used to didn't go into the system. You know, because auntie stepped in, grandmom stepped in. And we did everything we used to. We used to do everything we could to keep them out the system. Now we are part of the systemization and the institutionalization of our own children. Because we just don't, we don't feel like we can do anything. Or we see it as a check.
Very true. Very, very true. And I know people who are like that. That's sad.
Yeah.
So in this book, Transforming the Minds of Men, you really deal with what exactly?
I try to change the mindset of how we think about ourselves, how we see ourselves, and how other people see us.
And talk about men, boys, males, how males see yourself, how you males see
how
yourself.
Men, right, so how men,
okay.
How men who grew up without a father see themselves.
Okay.
How the institutions that we frequent, education, employment, how they see us. Because believe it or not, our supervisors, I had some situations, and I don't talk about this in the book, but I had some situations as a black male employee and having female supervisors who had a perception of black men.
Okay.
We'll figure that. So a lot of times I grew up with mostly female teachers who cultivated my ideology around females in the workforce and in education.
All right.
So okay. While the book speaks specifically to what a black male thinks of himself, it also factors in the environments that we have to navigate through successfully in order to become whole, or as the book says, maximizing our potential, because we have to know how to maximize our potential based on our mindset of the environment that we're in.
Okay.
So So one of the things, and this is a part of the whole background in writing the book.
Mm-hmm.
I started to look at what metamorphosis looks like,
okay.
And how one has to develop inside of this cocoon in order to become something great.
Okay.
And that's where the word transformation comes from.
Uh-huh.
It comes from that word metamorphosis that says in order for the black male to maximize his potential, he has to rethink his perception of himself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that then changes behavior. That then changes how I respond to other people's behavior about me based on information they may not even know about me. Because
mm-hmm.
sometimes people respond and they just see me. I'm 6'3", I'm 293 pounds. When I walk into a room, what do you think people think? White folks.
Are you asking me proper?
I'm asking you. Yes.
And you may be a little intimidating.
Exactly. And so what do you think I have to do in those environments? I have to dummy down who I am. And how do you think that makes me feel about myself?
Okay.
That I have to be less of who I am to make you feel comfortable.
Wow.
And that's why it's important for our environments to not do that to us. You know, and I've been married for 14 years, and me and my wife, we talk about this all the time. Sometimes our relationships can dehumanize and demasculinize us based on people's fear of us, even our wives, right? Like, I'm too hard on the boys. And it's like, no, I need them to know who they are. And so this aggression is to bring out of them the fear of accepting themselves.
Okay.
Because if you can't accept yourself, then you're afraid of other people accepting you.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? And that's what causes sometimes relationships to fold, because women and men see raising children differently based on their experience. And what was interesting is my wife grew up in a two-parent home. I grew up in a single-mother home.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of things that I've learned as a father and as a man, I've had to talk to my wife's dad about. I've had to talk to my grandfather about. I've had to talk to friends that I've connected with that's been married longer than me or parenting longer than me, because I had a desire to to do it a little bit better than it was done for me.
Right.
I was just saying to somebody last night, if I had a dad that believed in me like I believe in my sons, I would be great, greater than I am now.
Right.
Because it's because all it takes is somebody, it really, and when I say somebody, my mom believed in me, of course, right? But it's nothing like looking out and seeing your dad. Like, I just imagine my kids looking out. Like, I see my kids look at me at the school, and, mm-hmm. and I see the look on their face. I was like, yeah, that's my dad. People are like, that's your dad? They're like, yeah, that's my dad. You know what I'm saying? And and that makes me feel good. But sometimes I get jealous of them, and I'm like,
yeah,
I wish I had that feeling.
Right.
And me and my wife, we took in a foster son a few years ago, and we thought bringing him into the home and providing him with an environment with a two-parent home and access to education and advocacy and all of that was going to help him. And, in fact, he tried to commit suicide. He ran away from the house. And when I was doing my research and trying to release this book and I'm going through this turmoil myself, I asked myself, why is he upset? He was upset because he didn't like seeing my kids interact with me.
Oh, my. Okay.
Because he wanted that for himself and
right.
not from me, from his dad.
Okay.
So sometimes we think we're helping kids by changing their environment, but really that environment triggers their anger and their – so I learned a lot in this process of trying to help people transform. And it's like, listen, I talk about a term in my book, and I'm going to give this one out there for whoever's listening, and thank you all for listening to Teachable Moments because Amber is holding it down on the radio and teaching the world about this kind of stuff, and I appreciate being a guest on the show. But one of the things I talk about, Amber, is called rational detachment.
Okay.
Rational detachment.
Break
the
that down.
Yes, please write it down. Rational detachment means that I do not take personal the behavior of this young man, regardless of what I've done for him. Because if I take it personal, then I'm not able to help him. So let me give you an example. Say you take a kid on a trip to Disney
mm-hmm.
World
mm-hmm.
that never had an opportunity. They have a great time. Y'all bond. Y'all get closer. Soon as he gets off the plane, he look at you, call you all kinds of names, can't stand you.
Oh, wow.
And you say, I just paid out of my own pocket for you to go to Disneyland, and I just spent all of my time away from my family to be with you. And he don't understand that. He's like, what? I don't care nothing about your family, and you shouldn't have went anyway. And so a lot of people, teachers, social workers, foster parents, adoptive parents, deal with this issue where something triggers the young person. They go off after you've done something great for them, and we take it personal.
Newsflash, that doesn't just apply to children. That applies to adults, too. I just want to let you know that. Keep on going.
Right, right. but do you see how we take it personal? And I'm going to tell you, this book, so this is what I say to people all the time. Even if this is not your story or you don't work with the population, the book helps you with just everyday life because the terms that I use and the strategies that I provide can be used in any situation. But the strategies, they're there to heighten your mindset about the current environment you're in. Because a lot of times we don't think until hindsight, right? It's like they say hindsight is 20/20.
Right.
You don't think until after you've gone off, after you've responded and said something that – man, I shouldn't have done that. So reading the book really puts people in the mindset. I was going into the gym today, go figure this, and a woman stops me, and she's like, I'm reading your book. And so I was like, man, I was thinking, this is cool because I'm going on a radio show tonight. And she was saying, this book is helping me with my son, and I'm glad I'm reading it first.
Okay.
She said, I'm glad I'm reading it first so that I know how to behave as a mom with my son. And her son he's well – he's talented and all of that, and they may be listening. So I don't want people may know who I'm talking about. So I don't want to go too much into it.
Don't out anybody.
Right. But the thing is, it's like this book is helping people that have been parenting for years, absent of a man or father figure or father, and And it's allowing them to say, wow. Another thing I talk about is putting these young boys in programs or signing them up for organizations that do mentoring. So you have your fraternities, you have Big Brothers, Big Sisters. I'm a big brother through Big Brothers, Big Sisters as well. And so these are organizations that specifically mentor, and you have to ask, can you match my son with somebody that looks like him?
Mm.
And that way you have somebody that you can say, you know, my little's mom will call me and say, look, can you talk to him about being responsible?
Okay.
It's like, sure. You know, and because that co-parenting, that co-mentoring is important when you have individuals who understand what those young men need in order to be successful. And you need somebody that's not going to make you feel comfortable, that's not going to tell you everything is wonderful.
Right.
But that's going to tell you. And I was talking on my Facebook Live this morning about body image for boys. Because
okay.
I'm in the gym now, and, you know, I wasn't athletic as a child. My brothers were. And they, listen at this, none of my brothers struggle with body image. I'm the only one. I'm the only one that didn't play sports growing up.
Okay.
And so getting kids involved in sports, that's another tool. Getting your son involved in sports early, before they, you know, when they like the ball, is important, because then that naturally gives them that healthy body image development, as opposed to waiting until he's overweight, and then you, on top of not having a daddy, he the big boy that everybody picking on.
Okay, so wait, you are now giving me tools and strategies, correct?
Yes.
So these are tools and strategies for single moms. Are these tools and strategies for dads? Like, what are these tools and strategies? Who are they?
So single mom specific. So let me talk single mom specifically. Single
okay.
mom, connect your child to a mentoring agency. Single
uh-huh.
mom, identify those men in your life, uncles, your dad, their grandfather, that can support that child and be at those events, those life-changing events. I think another thing single moms need to do, regardless of your schedule, is find a way to get them active. Find a way to get them involved, right? Because a lot of single parents' children are involved in gangs, because they don't have any extracurricular activities to keep them occupied. So
okay.
if you don't have anything to keep you occupied, then you're going to involve yourself in things outside of extracurricular that are what we want. So the sports, the art clubs, the travel clubs. So that's important. I would say for dads, what's important is that we speak to our sons and tell them who they are, to provide protection and direction. And so I talk to my children all the time and speak direction into their life based on their desires, based on the things that they like. So, you know, I tell my son, you're going to be the first young man with a scholarship in every single area, art, sports, music, academics, you know, and I just hype him up, because I know what I speak into his life is what he's going to reach for, because every child wants to please their dad.
Hmm.
And so now I'm psychologically planting a seed to let him know he can do anything but fail.
Right.
It's the same way our relationship is with God. God tells us we can do anything. But the younger he tells us that, the younger we start to serve God. Me and you are church babies, right? We grew up in the church.
All right.
You see, so we have a different path with God than people that were saved at our age.
All right.
Because God told us years ago what we was going to be. It was prophesied to us. We heard it ourselves. So it's the same way with raising our boys. The more I prophesy to them or speak into their life as their natural father, they have great days. They have bad days too. But I told my son the other day, I was like, yo, you don't have to lie to me. If you get in trouble in school, just tell me.
Right.
Don't be that afraid. Like, let's work through it. Those are things I wish I had. You know, I got a whipping for everything. It's like, I got a pack with my sons. If you tell me the truth, you won't get a whooping. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about that on the radio. Because my thing is this, if you feel comfortable telling me the truth, now you allow me into your space to help you work through problems.
All right.
But if you lie to me, then I'm not. And so what you become as a liar is a professional cover-up. You know, so dads, I would just implore you to be there, be present, show up at the school. I volunteer at the school, not because I always have the time to, but because it's just necessary for your children to see you vested in their education. I take my kids to, their practices, not because their mother can't, but because they need to see me involved. And what I notice, Amber, at all of these practices is a bunch of women. You know, and it's like,
I
want to
ask you a question, though.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. So what do you say, because our time is almost over, what do you say, it is, what do you say to those mothers who say, and you see it on the television shows, you see them and you hear them say it all the time, I don't need no man. I don't need a man. I can do this by myself. I'll be their mother and their father. What do you say to them as a man who's trying to transform the minds of males and men and get their maximized potential?
I say to them, you're creating a monster. You're creating a young man with no direction and no protection. And he's and there's a small percentage of us who do well. However, it's not to their advantage. And I always encourage mothers, mothers cannot be fathers to their sons. They need their dads. And regardless of how good or bad that is, let that young man make that determination themselves.
I know there are a lot of mothers who say, well, their father is going to be in and out of their lives. That would be more damage than good. So you would
the damage is keeping them from them. The healthiness of it is that sometimes life is just chaotic, and sometimes that's an opportunity to explain the differences in life instead of trying to protect them from that, to say this is how life is sometimes. Sometimes, and own that. Maybe mom made a bad mistake. Maybe dad made a bad mistake, and this is why life is like this. Or, hey, we just didn't get along. We're going to work this thing out together. Because it teaches them conflict resolution. It teaches them not to run from stuff. It teaches them not to walk away from things. Because this is, so last point, if you have a young man in a home that's raised with his mom and the dad is not allowed to be involved or don't want to be involved, then what we teach that child is that it's natural for the father not to be at home and involved. So now when he has a child, he has no connection to that child because he's like, well, nobody was home with me. It hasn't been taught or shown to him. So keeping that father out of that teaches that young person, I don't have to be responsible.
Okay. Now, does that fly the same way with girls, female children, as well as it does boys, male children?
I think parenting in general needs to be about mutual respect for one another. And my mom never kept my dad from me. I'll tell you the detriment about my situation. I don't know how much time I have, but I didn't know who my real dad was until I was 16.
Okay.
But you can read about that in the book. The book is on Amazon, Create Space. It's on ebook platforms. It's everywhere. So
okay.
Transforming the Minds of Men.
Okay, and where can they find you on Facebook?
Facebook, I'm Lavelle McMichael. On Instagram, I'm The Real Lavelle. On Twitter, I'm The Real Lavelle. Snapchat, I'm Lavelle McMichael without the L. If you Google me, you'll find me. Google me.
What, spell Lavelle. Spell Lavelle. Spell Lavelle.
So L-O-V as in Victor, E-L-L-E.
Okay. So let's support him. Let's find his book. Let's buy his book. Transforming the Minds of Men, Maximizing Their Potential. You can find him on Facebook with Lavelle McMichaels. You can find him on Twitter and all of those media, forms of media, like Twitter, Instagram,
Periscope,
Lavelle. Let's support them. Thank you so much for being on our show. Thank you for the tools and the strategies for the single moms and the dads. Might have you on so you can help us out some more. But thank you, Lavelle.
Please have me back. I would love to. Thank you.
You're welcome. Until next week, find your moment.
good night to you.